Hey, we'll do agenda item number five, and then we'll take a break after agenda item five before number six. So with that, we'll go to agenda item five, PR-2023-008085, SD-2023-00187, preliminary plat, SD-2023-00188, vacation of public easements. VA-2023-00310 waiver to the DPM. Isaacson and Arfman, Inc., agent for Lepke Investments and Las Ventanas Homes, request the aforementioned action for all or portion of tract A1 Spanish Walk zoned PD located between 4th Street and Camino Espanol, containing approximately 2.4401 acres. Is the agent? I see Mr. Simpson.
Yep.
If would you state your name and address for the record?
Yes, Justin Simonson, Isaacson and Arfman, 128 Monroe Street, Northeast Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87108.
Mr. Simpson, I apologize for butchering your name.
That's okay.
Do you swear and affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay. Would you provide a short presentation and we'll proceed to. Oh, hang on. Sorry, prior to that, is any member of the public here that wishes to comment on agenda item number five, please raise your hand or unmute. Okay. Seeing none, go ahead and, Mr. McKinney?
You raise your hand.
Yeah,
no. Lisa McKinney.
I'm sorry, you.
Lisa McKinney.
One more time.
Lisa McKinney.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Lisa. McKinney, would you state your name and address for the record?
Sure. My name's Lisa McKinney. I'm at 949 Fairway Road Northwest in Albuquerque, and I am on the executive board for Lee Acres Neighborhood Association.
Do you swear and affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay. Would you have opportunity for public comment?
Mostly that we object to the vacation of the easement of the properties that abut this in Lee Acres in Sabre Court. There are at least two properties that have no access to their backyard at all, except across this property that they have used for decades. So I don't know who approved their houses originally, but basically the houses go up to their lot lines. So if they want to access their backyard without going through this easement currently, they would have to, like, say, take a wheelbarrow of rocks to their living room.
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. Can you identify which of those tracks for the record?
I can't say there. I know one is 6220 Sabre Court, and whichever 60, maybe 6216, that's right next door to that.
Okay.
I'd like to speak. Are you hearing me?
Just a second, Mr. Kruppert. Miss McKinney is that your only concern is the vacation of the easements for the backyard access?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Kruppert, would you state your name and address for the record?
James Rupert, 6220 Sabre Court, Northwest.
Do you swear and affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Sorry, it was J.K. Rupert, and I didn't realize you had your middle initial in there. Go ahead, please provide your public comment.
As Ms. McKinney says, we've had traditional use through a gate in our backyard through over this property. Now, as far as I understand, there is no change in the utilities easement in this, which creates a spatial problem. As she suggested, if we have to take a tree down, we have to bring it through our living room. Also, I'm not sure there's enough space there for PNM to do anything along that, since part of the utility easement is in our yard and part of it is out of it. I see PNM having no access to this area and us having no access to our backyard.
May I speak? My name is Terry Boren. Hang on, Jim Rupert's.
Wait a minute. Okay. I will just, if you can, just raise your hand and I'll get to you in a second.
Well, I'm sitting here with Jim Rupert, who's my husband.
Oh, okay. Let me finish with Mr. Rupert and then get to you. Mr. Rupert, so again, you're echoing the lack of access to your backyards for this project
and the vacancy. Yes, for my access and for PNM's.
Okay. PNM is a public commenting agency. I'm sorry. The person that was in Mr. Rupert's house, would you state your name and address for the record?
Yes, my name is Terry Boren, and my address is 6220 Sabre Court, Northwest.
Okay. Ms. Boren, do you swear and affirm to tell the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Go ahead.
I am originally from this area, and I have lived here since before the development of Sabre Court. This access has been used since the development of Sabre Court in the 70s, I believe. The map doesn't quite show where the traditional youth path, goes, but it definitely comes from the back of our house here. Can you do it, or are they doing it?
They're doing it.
Okay. And through between the trees, and can go either to the left or to the right out into Spanish Walk. It would be a tremendous inconvenience for us not to be able to get to our backyard. And I'm sure that PNM would have problems with that too. I do think there should be some way to get out from the back of these houses.
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. Ms. Borneo.
Boren, B-O-R-E-N.
Boren. When you guys purchased your houses, did you guys have legal, was there any access provided with your project across this other property, or have you ever had legal access across other people's properties?
We have a gate that was built in our backyard originally. We have had use of the back gate. Even this year we've used it, and we requested from the property owner just to be legal if we could use it, and we were allowed to use it.
As were the previous owners who had a verbal agreement that they could go through the backyard with the owner. The woman who lived here previously, the owner knew, called her that crazy woman. Mm. And so this has been a longstanding access question, traditional access.
And when you, as Hearing Officer Bohannon, and when you purchased it, it was your impression that there was a verbal agreement for access to the property?
Yes.
But there's nothing written in of record that you have in your files?
I don't know. Is there, Jim?
No.
I have no idea.
Okay. This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. I'll go to Ms. Wolfley now.
This is Jolene Wolfley with planning. I just wanted to point out to the hearing officer that this plat is a little bit different in the sense that the zoning was PD and it needed to first go to the EPC and actually have a site plan for the subdivision approved. So some of these matters I think would have gone through the EPC discussion, and we couldn't vary too much from what the EPC approval of the layout would be. And Mr. Simonson might be able to connect some of those dots between the EPC and us, but and Ms. Alec as well, who reviewed this, but we just need to make sure we don't deviate from the EPC approval on this one.
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. Thank you, Ms. Wolfley. Mr. Simonson, can you go through your presentation and kind of focus on access as well through your presentation?
Yes. This is Justin Simonson. Today we have the preliminary plat for Spanish Walk subdivision. I don't know if you guys can share our exhibits while I walk through them. But as Miss Wolfley stated, we have EPC site plan approval. This platting action follows the layout as approved at the EPC. We also have DFT signatures on the EPC site plan. Regarding access, what we are vacating with this are PNM easement or public utility easements. Number four, you can see them cross-hatched on this sheet. They are on the east and west boundary of our site. We are not touching the PUE easement with this platting action along the south property line as in question. So we are not modifying PNM's access along that south property line with this platting action. As far as access, our plat does not show that there is any legal easements to vacate for that. They were not identified in the survey provided by Tim Aldrich, who did prepare this plat. The proposed lots, if you can switch back to that layout, we're proposing the 17 lots as approved by the EPC, as I said, as well as two HOA tracks on either side that will act as ponding for the site. And we have the developer as well as some other people from the team available for questions.
Okay, this is Hearing Officer Bohannon. I didn't see the approved EPC site development plan in the file. I may have missed it. Jay, is that in the file? Could you pull that up? I want to get it just for information.
Hey, this is Jay Rumbeck. Justin, can you confirm what pages it's on?
Let me look to see if it is in our application. I know we made our application. This is Justin Simpson. We made our application while it was being signed, so it might not have the.
Well, and I can pull that up. I can pull up the final sign-off copy, you know, that was submitted for DFT approval.
Okay.
1 second here. And I'll just note too, while I'm doing this, I just want to note on the record, you know, concerns about PNM were brought up. I just want to note that PNM did sign this plat with the vacations depicted.
Right. This is Hearing Officer Bohannon, and I did notice that. Yeah, I think it's important if I just want to get an understanding of what EPC approved and see. And also, Mr. Simonson, did you handle the EPC application and approvals? Did Isaacson Arfin handle that?
We supported, this is Justin Simonson, we supported Jim Stroger's office on that application. So we were integral in it, but it was Jim Stroger making that actual submittal.
And Officer Bohannon, so do you know if notice provisions, which is requirement, was provided to the adjoining property owners for that EPC action?
Yes, this is Justin Simonson. Yes, we did have neighborhood meetings and stuff for the EPC site plan. We also made the same notice with this application.
And are you aware if those objections, this Hearing Officer Bohannon, are you aware of the access objections being raised at EPC?
This is Justin Simonson. I myself was not involved in that. I should have clarified that. Our office was, but the engineer who was on that is recently retired. So I have taken over. Scott Ashcraft, the developer, is available to speak to that. He was at those hearings.
Okay. While I'm still waiting, Mr. Ashcraft, I see you're in the audience. Would you state your name and address for the record?
I'm Scott Ashcraft. Address is 8330 Washington Place, Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87113.
Do you swear and affirm to tell the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Mr. Ashcraft, could you briefly go through the EPC process and your interactions with the neighborhoods and
yes,
the vacation if access was raised during the EPC actions?
So the question of rear yard access to the two homes in question was raised during the EPC hearing process. In fact, myself and Mr. Strozier and another representative from his office also met with the homeowners, I believe the owners that are on the call today, on the Zoom today, to look at their access through the back of their lots. In further investigation and discussions with both the owners and with the property owner, Mr. Lepke, who has since passed away, it was determined that access, there was verbal access that had been temporarily granted to those owners, and they were allowed to occasionally walk through there, but that access was granted only verbally by Mr. Lepke. And obviously was then up for revocation at his leisure, so that's where we are with the access. There's never been anything formally recorded, never been anything formally agreed to, and we are not trying to remove any easement that would allow access to that backyard, those two backyards. Actually, it's just the one backyard. The only easement that does exist back there is a public utility easement, and therefore did not allow for access either. It is not a pedestrian or access easement.
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. Mr. Ashcraft, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Jay, is this the site development plan that's on the screen?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I can confirm this is the final sign-off copy of the site plan EPC that has been signed off. It's been approved administratively by DFT staff and signed by 4 out of 6 DFT staff. But still waiting for the Water Authority signature. And then once Water Authority signs, Ms. Wolfley would sign for planning. But yeah, this is the final sign off of the EPC site plan.
Okay. This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. Okay.
If you would. I don't know what to say.
Excuse me. If you could mute yourself, Mr. Rupert, and I'll come back to you after I go through DFT. As well as all the members of the public. With that, I'm going to go to the DFT staff, and we'll start with the Water Authority, Mr. Hull.
This is Andre Hull with the Water Authority. I have to apologize. I wrote down final plat, and this is just for preliminary plat approval. Our comments were that easement note number 10 should list public water and public sanitary sewer. And then we also would like that dedication note for public water and sanitary sewer easements. I provided that in the comments. I don't know if you want me to read that out. And then the other comments I had were more relative to the final plat on the infrastructure list. The description on the infrastructure list provided for the water was incorrect and needs to be pretty much corrected in accordance with what you have on the sanitary sewer. So they were kind of redundant. And
good.
Let's see what else. Infrastructure update. And that we didn't have any objections with the vacation of the public easement or the waiver to the DPM. And as far as preliminary plat, we just wanted note 10 changed and added the easement dedication. And that's all.
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. So this is preliminary plat, so they will be going to final plat. But what I understand is note 10 needs to be modified, as well as an updated IIA list needs to be presented and signed off by DFT staff. Is that fair?
That's Andre Hill. That's correct. That would be for final plat. I mean, I don't have any issues with the preliminary plat, but just want to ensure that the final plat approval has the updated dedication language and the public water and public sanitary sewer comment.
Okay.
That's all.
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. Thank you. We'll go to Code Enforcement, Mr. Palmer.
Yes, this is Jeff Palmer with Code Enforcement. All prior comments had been addressed in the submittal, citing the prior EPC approvals given in their official notices of decision. So Code Enforcement has no further comments and no objections to all actions proposed.
That's Hearing Officer Bohannon. Thank you. Ms. Wolfley, you have your hand raised.
Thank you. This is Ms. Wolfley. I just want to mention that this is a preliminary plat, but everything we need on the plat should be going on the plat now. And there can be conditions of approval for a preliminary plat, but we don't leave like unfinished items to then be put on the final plat. We want to get it all settled for the preliminary plat and then allow the infrastructure list to be financially guaranteed during the process between now and the final plat. But we shouldn't, it's not like preliminary in the sense that we don't want everything done now because the final plat needs to match the preliminary plat. So
this is Hearing Officer Bohannon. Thank you, Ms. Wolfley. And I do know that, and I was going to add those as conditions if that moves forward. Mr. Simonson, you had your hand raised.
Yes, this is Justin Simonson. I just wanted to respond a bit more to the infrastructure list comment. We have submitted a public work order plan and have received some comments, some additional comments from the Water Authority as far as our layout. So we are making some changes to waterline sizes and we will reflect that on this infrastructure list as well.
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. Thank you. And I apologize, I should have, if you want to address any of the DFT, please
okay.
Unmute and do it at the time. I will proceed to Parks and Recreation.
Hi, this is Whitney with Parks and Recreation. I don't have any comments or objections to the requested action. Thank you.
Okay, this is Hearing Officer Bohannon. We'll move to Hydrology.
Hydrology. Hydrology has an approved conceptual plan, a conceptual gradient drainage plan with engineer's stamp date of March 14th, 2023. Hydrology has no objections.
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. I have a question for you, Mr. Chin. The vacation actions that are being proposed are on the east and west property lines of this project, and they're proposed, they basically traverse the proposed ponding for the lots, yes, as shown. Is the vacation of those easements necessary for the ponding? Or could they be coincided? And that may be more of a question for the applicant, Mr. Simonson.
Yes, this is Justin Simonson. That is the need for vacating those easements. If you switch to the next page, you'll see on the east end, we're providing a new PUE. So our pond is notched in that one particular location, but ponding is a big requirement for this one and kind of driving factor for those easement requirements. So
this is Hearing Officer Bohannon. So that's my question back to Mr. Chin. So Mr. Chin, so these are going to be drainage ponds. Is there any reason that a PUE couldn't overlay the pond as far as hydrology is concerned, realizing that it would be almost a paper document and not really needed?
From a drainage point of view, I don't have any objections. As long as they have to restore the ponding area after repair of after disturbance of the drainage area. So, since this is outside of the pond, that's even better.
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. So I'm trying to understand if these vacations, never mind, I'll just move on.
This is Justin Simon, so I just wanted to note to TCOIN that we do have a final grading and drainage plan that we've submitted and approved by Renee, I believe it was last month. towards the end of last month.
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. Okay, thank you. We'll move on to transportation.
Ernest Army Hill, transportation. Transportation has an approved conceptual TCL dated July 24th, 2023. Transportation has spoken with the applicant and reviewed submittal material and has no objections. As a reminder, it will be the responsibility of the property owners to maintain the compacted crusher fine trail and keep it suitable for ADA accessibility.
Okay, this is Hearing Officer Bohannon. We'll go to planning.
Hi, this is Hannah Olick with planning. I first want to address the request for the final plat. So regarding the final plat application, an infrastructure improvements agreement, IIA, based on the approved infrastructure list with this preliminary plat, must be recorded and submitted to staff before the final plat can be heard by the DHO. Therefore, the final plat application is deferred to a later date. Related comments on the final plat is still included in the comment memo, but we're not hearing the final plat today. So regarding the preliminary plat, I have one question for the applicant regarding the existing vegetation on the site. Would you please clarify if any of the of those trees existing on the site are going to be maintained or preserved?
This is Justin Simonson. I can clarify there. We are not able to maintain those trees, the existing vegetation on the site, due to the floodplain and needing to raise the site with a little more based on fill action. So these lots need to be raised to get them out of that flood zone.
Okay, thank you.
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. Miss Hannah, do you, so part of the conditions in, is the preliminary plat need to be listed for final plat if they're material. And so what I need you to do is if is part of your, part of the conditions on the preliminary plat, I need to list those so that they follow through for the final plat. Are there any conditions in your staff report that need to be brought up, or any items that need to be brought forward as conditions?
For the final plat, the comments are project and application numbers must be added to the final plat. A recorded copy of the plat must be sent to planning manager Jay Rodenbeck. The city's Aegis office must approve the DXF file for the final plat, and the date of the DHO approval shall be recorded on the final plat prior to final sign-off. These were comments related to the final plat.
Yeah, so those are items we don't put on the approval of the preliminary plat. Those are the wrap-up items of the final plat. So I think Miss Olick is still working her way through her comments on the preliminary
plat.
And okay. I just wanted to bring up the trees that she has some pictures of. Have you identified the species of these, Mr. Simonson?
I have not. I would defer to the developer, Scott Ashcraft, if he has any follow-up comments. But I did do a site visit and looked at them. These ones along the front currently do not look as good as they do in Google Street View. They look a little bit more in stress, but I'll defer to Scott.
This is Bohannon. Wait, Mr. Ashcraft. So let's get through all of Ms. Olick's comments, and then we'll let the applicant, whether it's you or Mr. Simonson, address those. So Ms. Olick, would you get through all your comments?
Yes, Mr. Hearing Officer. Regarding the vacation of easement request, which was approved by the EPC, the applicant mentioned in their response memo that the 7-foot public utility easement is going to be replaced by a 10-foot public utility easement. It is, however, not depicted on their plan. So our request is that the applicant must show the newly proposed utility easement on their plat.
Hannah, this is Justin Simonson. It's, if you go to the next sheet, it's easement 9 depicted on this sheet that wraps around the property and also ties back to in that corner. Yep, right there. So easement 9 is follows along the proposed roadway.
Okay.
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. So Ms. Olick, you, is that all your comments?
I did have a few more comments on the waiver that was granted needs to be placed on the final plat. So that's one thing that is required. And then the infrastructure list was missing application and project numbers. Those must be added to the infrastructure list. And future development guidance is provided to you in the comment memo that you received yesterday. And that would be all for planning.
Okay. Mr. Simonson, Mr. Rodenbeck, you have your hand raised.
I was just going to quickly note, this is Jay Rodenbeck, that Mr. Simonson, if he can get it, I don't know if it's possible to revise the infrastructure list in the next hour or so, but we are going to have a signing session for approved plats and infrastructure lists after this meeting concludes. I don't know if he was here when I announced, just giving the heads up that if he was to get that to me before the signing session, and if presuming that this is approved, then you know we would be able to get it signed. But that's obviously based upon if it gets approved. So I just want to throw that out there. Thanks.
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. So I'm going to be going to the public in a minute. So there's what you're concerning with is if there was an updated infrastructure list, because this is preliminary plat application. So it's just on the infrastructure list as your comment relates.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. With that, I'm going to go back to Mr. Ashcraft and talk about the trees.
This is Scott Ashcraft with Las Ventanas, New Mexico. Given the definition of the trees, I think the specific question was the species of the trees. I believe, again, I'm not an arborist, but I believe those trees in question and those in your photo are Chinese elm that are shown there, none of which meet the requirement of having a 16-inch diameter trunk at chest height. And so, again, they do need to be removed to be able to accomplish the grading and drainage plan as approved.
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. Thank you, Mr. Ashcraft. Ms. Wolfe, you have your hand raised.
Thank you, Mr. Ashcraft. Can you tell me, did this come up? Did the trees come up in the EPC hearing? Was this evaluated?
No, the first conversation or even question regarding the trees was during this platting process. This was not anything that was in question during the EPC hearings.
Kind of wanted to verify because this potentially was a sensitive land feature, so we just wanted to make sure we had vetted it properly in this hearing.
Officer Bohannon, that's what I want to do is you prepared, or Mr. Simonson prepared, and I thought I saw it in the file, the sensitive land analysis study.
This is Justin Simonson. I believe we responded that that the stand, there is no large stand of trees as defined. That was our response to the sensitive land analysis per a site visit.
Okay. Any other staff comments? And before I go back to the general public. I see none. Mr. McKinney, you have your hand raised.
Yes, it's Lisa McKinney.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. I have three questions. One is regarding the fence and wall on the fence or wall on the south side of the property, or these developments. It was my understanding from one of the previous meetings that this is basically going to be on the property line. So is that going to abut the people who are in Sabre Court, their fences and walls? That's the first question. Second question is, first I'm hearing about raising the property. Where is the water going? Is it going to be grading into the ponds that you're establishing, or is it going to be backing up into the Sabre Court neighbors? And the third is basically a comment about PNM. I'm assuming there's a line that goes along that south boundary of this property. And I will just say that I have a PNM easement on the back of my property, and someone at the end of the block built a wall so they can't access that. So PNM okaying it is like, I don't really trust them, because all they do is knock on my door in the middle of the night and ask to come across my property because someone else built a wall down, you know, across the easement, and they haven't done anything about it. So I don't trust that PNM is not going to try to access this property through the neighbor, Sabre Court neighbors, or even through the new property owners on this proposed property.
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. Thank you. I'm going to have Mr. Simonson address your three questions, but all the new plat, this your plat, existing plat, there's been a lot of changes since your plat was approved. And one of the primary ones is all of the public utility easements are usually accessible on new developments from a roadway. And so that's what is happening here is PNM is basically getting their services to the front of these proposed lots. Mr. Simonson, can you address these three questions, please?
Yes. So the question regarding, this is Justin Simonson, regarding the raising of the site and where the water will be going. Yes, all the lots will be within, these 17 lots will be draining into the east and west and into ponding. And the second question regarding where a wall will be placed along that south property line, we are proposing an offset CMU wall be placed on the lots 8 through 12, I believe it is. Sorry, 5 through 12. So it will be solely on those property lines, on those properties, and not on the property line itself. And then the third question about PNM access, leaving the PNM easement in place on that back property line to allow for the access to be as it was. And then we're proposing for these lots to have PNM easements along their frontage. So
this is Hearing Officer Bohannon. So what I'm hearing you say is you're going to build a second wall and not utilize the existing wall of the properties to the south.
This is Justin Simonson. That's correct. It's currently not a wall. It's different fence material. And so to allow for the grade transition, which our site will be higher, we're matching existing grade on the property line and building a new wall.
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. What's that offset from that existing wall?
It will be, the final offset will be determined via the wall permit and the structural engineer designing the footing to allow the footing to be maintained on that lot. So we're providing a 1 to 2 foot because we believe that should be sufficient, but it could shift depending on that final wall footing detail.
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. And so also you'll be addressing the materials with that submittal.
Yes, this is Justin Simonson. That is correct.
Okay. Ms. McKinney, do you have any follow-up questions to those answers?
I do about the wall offset. Who's going to be maintaining that 1 to 2 foot strip between the existing Sabre Court wall and the new wall for the development? I don't know if you're familiar with the North Valley, but we have a lot of tumbleweeds and other noxious weeds that grow anywhere. So who would be responsible for maintaining that?
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. Mr. Simonson, can you address that?
Yeah, this is Justin Simonson. So that portion of that in between the wall and the existing fence will be the responsibility of each lot owner, because it will lie within that person's property. So they will have to maintain it.
Okay, this is Harry Nosser Bohannon. Okay, Ms. McKinney, any final comments?
Yeah, how are they going to get access to it? Are they going to have gates in their back wall?
This is Justin Simonson. So the lower, as I mentioned, you know, these lots are going to be raised higher than the existing grade. So the only that low, that portion that's retaining will need to be CMU. It may be a view fence or a combination thereof with a little gate. We are not creating a situation where it will be unattainable with the platting action. That will be per the final wall design and building permit.
This is Harry Nosser Bohannon. So is that detailed out on your final grading and drainage plan submittal that you testified you submitted?
This is Justin Simonson. Yes, we do show that that wall is the retaining portion of that wall being positioned within that lot, and that a privacy wall slash fence will be above that. And that is what we call out on that plan.
Hearing Officer Bohannon again. And so part of the hydrology portion is how everything is going to be maintained. So on the one of the things that I would suggest is that you address that in your final grading and drainage plan submittal, so that when it comes back for final plat, that be addressed at the final plat.
Okay. This is Justin. Thank you.
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. Mr. Rupert, do you have any follow-up questions? Mr. Rupert?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Please proceed.
So the existing public utilities easement extends beyond my fence into the property. And are you saying that from that public easement, there'll still be 1 or 2 feet before the fences for the new houses?
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. I'll let Mr. Simonson re-describe and re-articulate the fence locations and what's occurring on that south property line.
In relationship to the public utilities easement.
Yes, this is Justin Simonson. So as your property is, there is a portion of that PUE, well, you have a PUE along your fence inside your property. The lots we are creating within Spanish Walk will have a similar situation. They'll have either a wall or a fence at or very near the property line with additional PUE in their backyard.
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. So if I may try to reiterate or re-articulate what you're happening is, right now there is an existing PUE within the established lots on the south side. And I want to say that's probably 7 or 8 feet. Then there's the existing fence at the property line. Then there's a new PUE, or you're going to recognize the existing PUE on the north side. So the combined PUE is going to be approximately probably 15 feet. But your fence, your new fence, will be offset from the property line north of there. And that'll either be a view fence or some other type of structural element. Mr. Simonson?
Yes. This is Justin Simonson. Yes, you're correct.
Okay. And to reiterate, that easement, that PUE easement is going to be retained. It's not being vacated. The only vacations are on either side, east and west side.
This is Justin. Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Mr. Rupert, did that help any?
Yes, it did. And my wife wants to speak.
Yeah, I was going to go to her. Ms. Bourne?
I would like to say that I think that either Mr. Simeon or Mr. Ashcraft, I'm not sure which one was talking, has diminished and misstated the importance of traditional and customary use of a property. As I said, this property has been used for as long as I can remember, at least since the 1970s. And it is not someone merely wandering across the property on foot, but the easement, well, the use was enough that we could bring trucks in across this property. By its very nature, customary and traditional use very rarely has a specific contract, as it is a customary and accustomed. Some of the trails in the North Valley have been used for a couple of hundred years. I have no idea how long this trail across the back of this property has been used, but it is customary and accustomed. It's a traditional use and needs to be taken seriously, not just denigrated as wandering across the back lot.
Ms. Moran, this is Hearing Officer Bohannon. Everything we do at these hearings is serious because it does affect people's property rights and people's ability to use their property as well as impacts to others. So everything that you have said today is being weighed very carefully. As a hearing officer, I have to look at what's in front of me and the facts. The problem with verbal easements or verbal agreements is, again, you don't have, as I heard today, the verbal agreements were with parties that are not present at the hearing. And so that ends up being hearsay. And unfortunately, in a court of law, that doesn't go very far. And I don't see any record of written statements as far as access across this property as well. So proving up the ability to show that you have had continuous use on this is a difficult challenge at best. And it is, having been at working in development industry for almost 40 years, I know the challenges are tough, and I understand your position. But right now, the facts are that we don't have any written agreement of access across the property. Compounded with that is this has also gone to EPC, where this has been reviewed by the Environmental Planning Commission in a public hearing as well. At that point in time, the EPC is also very very prone to listen to and look at the facts for access and to make sure that nobody's property rights are abridged. And so that is the test that is in front of us today for any vacation action and any platting action as well. And so so with that, I don't have any record of saying that access needs to be provided across this property. If you do have records, be happy to look at those. But at this point in time, I don't see any record of that in the record today.
Well, when the people came out to, I believe Mr. Ashcraft, but I'm not sure, came out to look at our property, and we walked him through the back gate. We also provided him with the name of the landscaper and the fencer who had worked with us on this property, who had talked to Mr. Lepke and indeed had established that he had given permission for people to come across the property. Tim Kelleher was his name, and we provided it to the people who were looking at the area.
Again, unfortunately, what I need is statements, not just from you, but from the people. There is a process that you need to go through on that. My decision today is appealable. And so you can look at that. And if you have documentation that says this is a right that it goes with this property, that when you purchase the property goes with that property, you can bring that forward. But right now, I don't have anything in the record that says that there is a right that's being abridged with this platting action. Mr. Simonson, is there anything else that you care to add to the case?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Staff, any additional condition comments?
This is Hannah Olick, Mr. Hearing Officer. I believe I didn't provide enough information about the waiver to DPM request. A request was submitted to EPC to instead of a sidewalk, provide a crusher fine path along Camino Español edge of the project. And this was approved by the EPC, and it was also administratively reviewed by DFT in a DFT meeting. I just wanted to, for the record of this meeting, reaffirm that the waiver request complied with the decision and review criteria 66P3A. And the request is consistent with the established neighborhood character and won't be contrary to the public safety, health, or welfare. And so this 5-foot wide crusher fine path will be provided along Camino Español, and the existing development is in the vicinity of the subject property, features low traffic counts, and the width of the street is per the IFC and has been approved by the fire marshal. Therefore, this request was also approved.
But this is Hearing Officer Bohannon. So, Ms. Ockman, so what how I'm interpreting that is that just needs to be noted on the plat, but there is no action required of this DHO for that waiver. That is just needs to be identified on the plat.
Correct.
Mr. Hearing Officer, if I could step in here, I my preference would be that you also approve that waiver, since the authority for that is more under the DHO. The EPC did approve it, but the that particular section is more under the authority of the DHO, so I think it would be beneficial to have you as well approve the waiver for the sidewalk.
Okay, and so this is Hearing Officer Bohannon. Mr. McKinney, I'll get to you in a minute. Ms. Olick, so it was conditions A and B that you were looking at under the waiver criteria?
Yes, per 66P3A, the following criteria that go under 66P3A applied to this request, and the request complied with all the decision and review criteria, including maintaining the neighborhood character, public safety, health, and welfare, and all the other items. There are 10 items under that waiver to DPM that were all reviewed.
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. Could you do me a favor? Could you put those in the chat function for me, please?
Sure. Did you need all 10 items?
No. So in the review and criteria for a waiver, we need to identify under item one that A, B, C, or D applies. And I think you were saying C. So that's the one you would emphasize. And then there can just be a summary that the waiver will not be contrary to public health, safety, or welfare, which covers the other items.
This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. That's how I was reviewing
it. So let's just simplify it. So which under item one, I think you mentioned C?
Yes.
C or D, I can't remember. But
it's C.
That would be the one that the hearing officer would identify. We don't have to put all that detail in his.
Right.
That's for his decision.
Sure.
His decision. It's not a condition, but it's how he'll read out his decision.
Absolutely. I'm copying this. And so, yes, under number one, just item C applied to the project, but items 2 to 10 had to be reviewed, and the request had to comply with all of those. But this is a summary of the review of this request.
Okay, I think I have it. This is Hearing Officer Bohannon. I think I have it. Mr. McKinney, one last opportunity.
Sure, it's Mrs. McKinney.
Mrs. McKinney, I am sorry.
All right. I just want to reiterate the fact that if you put a 1 foot gap in the wall or even a 2 foot gap, who in their right mind is going to be able to clean that up? And it's going to be full of weeds and trash. And the people who are going to suffer are the people in Sabre Court, because the properties, this Camino Español property is going to be raised, so their fence is going to be higher, so they're not going to be able to see it. So it's, you know, we have an existing property that has been here since, I don't know, our neighborhood was platted in the mid-40s. Those properties, I think, were built in the 80s. So those houses have been there for a long time. You're changing the use and the value and the enjoyment of their property by preventing them to get to their backyard. If you're going to put a 5 foot pathway, gravel pathway in the front of the property, can you do that on the back, on the south side?
Ms. McKinney, yes. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your comments. Staff, any other comments? Okay. Okay, hearing none, I am going to approve PR-2023-008085, SD-2023-00187 preliminary plat. The preliminary plat has a condition that the notes be revised per the Albuquerque Bernalillo County Water Authority's requirements, a updated infrastructure improvements list be approved with to the satisfaction of the city engineer, uh-huh. And that the appropriate project numbers and application numbers be made under SD-2023-00188. I move approval of the vacation of the public easements. These easements do not serve the public welfare, and they should not be retained, and there's no convincing evidence that the substantial property right is being abridged by this vacation action. Under VA-2023-00310, waiver to the DPM, I approve the request for waiver. It meets the criteria of the Section A and C, that there are existing obstructions that cannot be easily or economically relocated or should not be altered, and that varying from the normal requirements and standards will encourage flexibility, effective use of the ponding area, and is in accordance with accepted principles of site planning, and will not be contrary to public health, safety, or welfare. Okay, with that, I'd like to note that my actions today are appealable. If you need to appeal my decision, that you can reach out to planning staff for the appropriate forms to do that. At this point in time,
Mr. Bohannon?
Yes.
I need to interrupt. I'd like you to go back and reconsider a condition you made on item number 4, PR 2020-4049, at Unser and Western Trail. And I think we tried to contact Mr. Aldrich to come back, but I wanted to show you, if you could reconsider that item, that the condition regarding putting a 40-foot buffer on the property is not correct per the IDO, and I can show you that if you want to reconsider it.
This is Jay Rinbeck. Tim Aldrich is still here.
This is hearing officer Bohannon, and I believe it was 45-foot. So yes, we'll reopen agenda item number 4. Well, first, before we do that, Angela, if you could close the record for agenda item number 5.